Romans 13, I'll read verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 and 2.
Amen.
Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Let us pray. Father, we thank you again in Jesus' name for this privilege to pray. Thank you for loving us and saving us and keeping us. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be here tonight, the privilege and opportunity to preach. I pray that you'd help us. Bring to our remembrance the Word of God. Help us to preach in power.
Yes.
Make us a blessing to this people. Stir and revive the hearts of the saints of God, I pray. Save the lost. Thy glory in Jesus' name. We'll give you the praise. Amen. I want to preach a few minutes on some things ordained of God. The Bible said here in verse 1, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. God is a sovereign God. And of course the meaning of that word is right in the word. God reigns. God is boss. God's on the throne. God has set up some ordinances, and if we do not abide by the ordinances as God set up, then we resist God and God's power. God can do as he pleases since he is God. He does not have to counsel with anyone. Of course, the word ordain means to establish or to fix something. Some things God fixed before the foundation of the world, and they're not never going to come unfixed. Amen. Some things God fixed, and God had a purpose, and God ordained. For instance, you know, there in Acts 2:23, when Peter was preaching the message on Pentecost, of course, he laid the blame for killing Christ on to the nation of Israel, but he said Christ was delivered by the determinate counsel, by the determinate counsel of God, foreordained. In other words, by the determinate counsel, foreordination of God, Christ was delivered into the hands of sinners, in the hands of those that crucified him. Did not take God by surprise. God was aware of the fact all the time. Jesus come down from heaven to do the will of God. He come here to die for us.
Amen.
That is in the decrees of God before the foundation of the world. Christ was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest for you in these last times. So God didn't look for a Savior. Christ died for God. A lot of times we have that, you know, in reverse. And the only way God could be reconciled was to be propitiated. And the only thing that could propitiate God, to be a propitiation, was a perfect lamb. And so Christ died for sinners, but he also died for the sovereign. He died so God could look at us in mercy and compassion. He could not look at us in mercy unless Christ took our place and became our sin and bare our sin, paid our sin debt. In fact, God loves us in Christ. Now, one church closed the door on me for saying those words. Apart from Christ, you're not a child of love, you're a child of wrath. Because you're a sinner. And God hates sin. And if you're outside of Christ, that's what you are. Now, God loves in Christ. You won't have Christ, God won't have you. God will damn you in hell apart from Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The only people that God's going to take to heaven is those that are in Christ.
Amen.
Nobody outside of Christ can enter even the presence of God now, let alone then. The only way we can approach God is in Christ.
Amen.
God hates the workers of iniquity. That's what he said. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil. We've had a one-sided God preached to us in this generation. Just like God is obligated to love everybody. God ain't obligated to love nobody. God's not obligated, period. The only obligation God has is to his own self. He must be true to his own attributes. He don't owe us anything. And the wrath of God abides upon the head of every unbeliever. Unbelief is the damning sin.
Amen.
Unbelief is opposite of faith.
Yes.
Unbelief brings the frown of God upon you. Unbelief will take you to fire in the lowest pits of hell.
Amen.
Jesus said, except you believe I am He, you shall die in your sins. And where I am, you cannot come. God Almighty set up some decrees. Set up some ordinances. And I'm glad He did, aren't you? And if we resist those ordinances, we resist the power of God. First of all, God ordained the Bible, that is, the Word of God, as His final authority.
Amen.
Before there's ever a book wrote, the Word of God was settled in heaven.
Amen.
It's not so because you found it in the Bible. It was so, or it wouldn't have got in the Bible.
Amen.
The Word of God is forever settled in heaven. The Bible's not all God knows. It's all God wants us to know. You can't find out all about God in this Bible. You can find out all God wants you to know about Him in the Bible. Now, you weigh that out. You couldn't hem God up in 66 books. He inhabits eternity. Amen. He sits on the circle of earth. Some folks try to hem God up in Romans 10, 9, and 10. You can't hem God up in the whole Bible, let alone two books or two verses. Now, I'm glad for the Bible. Don't misunderstand me. And God has ordained His Word for the final authority. Not my word. Not your word, but His Word. The Lord gave the Word. And great was the company of those that published it. All Scriptures given the inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine. Somebody said, well, I don't believe in preaching doctrine. You can't preach and not preach doctrine.
That's right.
You can't even talk and not talk doctrine.
Right.
Now, you hear a fellow say he don't believe in preaching doctrine, he's more mixed up than a blind bad flying in backwards. Doctrine. My doctrine is what the Scripture teaches. Scripture is proper for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You know, the Bible, all we know about God, as I said, come from the Bible. The Word of God reveals God's person, it reveals God's power, and it reveals God's purpose, it reveals God's plan.
Amen.
No one of the psalmists said, I rejoice at thy word, as one that findeth great sport. He said, I shout because of the Word of God.
Yes.
Hence, thy word giveth light.
Yes.
Oh, the word's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. Listen, Peter said, we've not followed cunningly devised fables. Cunningly devised fables. Did you ever look them words up?
Yes,
we have not followed cunningly devised fables. When we made known unto you the power and coming of the Lord Jesus, but we're witnesses of His majesty. Peter said, we've been with Him. We was in the mountain with Him.
Yes, sir.
Amen. We was there when the voice came from excellent glory, saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. But Peter said, we have a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto life that stands in a dark place until the day dawn. And the day shall rise in your heart, knowing this, that no prophecy of the Scripture is in the private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. No wonder the Word of God's quick and powerful. It is given by the Holy Ghost to holy men. It's the Word of God. You can look around and know the Bible's true. You heard the pastor quote that in the last days there'd be men creeping unaware who were before of old ordained this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. That's an awful big word. Lasciviousness, that's what you're seeing today. Preachers turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. That's exactly what you're seeing a bunch of apostates do. They're saying everybody's saved. All their message is positive. They get the Hollywood stars and the grand old opera stars and everybody goes. They say we're all going to the same heaven. You ain't going to the heaven I'm going to if you're not born again.
Amen.
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 You know, even that Criswell out in Texas, he said that he liked to have a talk with the Pope. He liked to be friends with the Pope. After all, said we're going to the same place. I said, not me. Not me going. There haven't been a pope or a priest made to heaven yet. Somebody said, you oughtn't have said that. I don't know where they said it. If they ever get saved, they'll take off that little bonnet and that long robe and get down at the feet of Christ like the rest of us. You know I'm telling the truth. Who ever heard of a man all of a sudden becoming infallible when he gets in the popery? That's what they believe. Why, it's heresy. It's damnable. We're supposed to expose it. The Word of God's the final authority. He said, the Word of God said, don't you call anybody your father. They love to be called rabbi. They love to be called father. They love to be bound to. Them folks, they got them folks blinded and bewitched. This Bible cuts all the props out from under. Amen. Oh, the Word of God's the final authority. It'll be the same the next time I see you. If I preach the truth, it don't have to be propped up. It'll stand the test. You can always tell a heresy, a heretic. They always adjust their stands to suit people and suit the times. That's how you tell a heretic. You know, it used to be a sin to eat meat on Friday till they got some Protestants to agree with them. Then they changed their mind. They used to wouldn't let their folks marry outside the church till they seen they could deceive another bunch. So now they don't mind. What am I saying? They do this like apostate Baptists. They adjust their stand to suit the case. But now Paul didn't do that. Nor did he charge Timothy to do it. He said, you preach the word. Don't deviate from the word. Just stay true. It'll get the job done. If it don't get the job done, close up shop and go on home. Because nothing else will. If you can't get saved hearing the gospel, you can't get saved. That's God's ordained means. You can't go around God's ordained means. We're begotten by the Word of God. And we're born to the Spirit of God. God births His Word in us. If you don't love the Word, you're not saved. Everybody saved loves the Word. I didn't say they're doing it all. I didn't say they're walking in all the light of it. But they love it. And when you're preached to, you know you're guilty. Ain't that the way it is? Oh, I'm feeling pretty good. Amen. You might say, well, I don't feel nothing. Well, you might not have nothing.
Amen.
Amen. But I'll tell you, I'm feeling the power of God tonight. Yeah. God likes for me to preach His Word, and I'm in the will of God preaching because God ordained preaching.
Amen.
It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. Not teaching. Not gimmicks.
Amen.
Not getting them in some other way. But the preaching of the gospel.
Amen.
God ordained that.
Yes.
He sent His 12 men out to preach. Preaching, I've been saying every night, is a proclamation. Oh, I'm going to say it. He said, he told Timothy, he said, you preach the word, be it an NC, now to Satan, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, talking to the church.
Yeah.
After their own lust, shall heap themselves teachers.
Yes, sir, preacher.
That's what the average church wants today. They want a teacher. They want somebody to get along with the young and marry the young and bury the dead and coach a ball team and carry bottle nipples for the sour ones and sugar tits for the babies and do a little what they call teaching and not teach too long nor too loud nor too mean. What we need is the Holy Ghost filled man that's done lost all the man fear, God done take it away, and he just preaches hell hot. Amen. Seeing black and heaven sweet, the new birth of must. Preach it in love. God ordained His Word as a final authority. The Bible's right. I may get wrong, you may get wrong, but whatever the Bible says is right. Not only that, but God ordained the local church as His means of reaching the world.
Oh, I bless
God. Now, I got to preach. That's a whole sermon. I'm not going to try to preach this minute on that. God ordained the local church as His means of reaching the world with the gospel. He committed the gospel to the church.
Right.
He commissioned the church. That's who He gave the commission to. And He continues with the church till the end. That's what He said in the book. Now, I'm just going to go down on record tonight. I'm against any other organization that pretends to be God's ordained means of reaching the world.
Amen.
Let it be a club. Let it be an evangelistic association. I do not care what.
Amen.
Anything apart from the local church.
Amen.
Had its origin with man.
Amen.
The church originated in the mind of God before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
And its destination is with God.
Amen.
Jesus died at Calvary to buy a church. You better quit cussing the church. You don't know where Jesus is. Look in Revelation 2 and 3. Walking in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. You want to know what the church is, the candlestick? Revelation 1, the last verse, said the candlesticks are the seven churches. We're his body. Flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone, the bride of his bosom. We ain't perfected yet, but we're going to be.
Yes, sir.
As far as he's concerned, we are. Amen. Now, that makes me want to run up and down my house. As far as he's concerned, there's nothing wrong with us. You know, I just won't see near as much wrong with mine as I will yours.
That's right.
Ain't that right? Oh, somebody said, well, look in there, what all is wrong with the church. And if you look at the outside, there is a lot wrong. But God's looking at it on an eternal basis, and there's nothing wrong with it. It's his bride.
Yes.
And it's God's ordained means of reaching the world. The local church. He instructed the local church. Matthew 18. He empowered the local church. Acts chapter 2. And he indwells the local church. Now we are to grow into a holy temple from habitation of God through the Spirit. Ephesians 2. That's what it says. As we grow into a holy temple, God inhabits the church. That's where God lives on earth now. Now you say, well, I thought you'd get saved anywhere. Oh, you can get saved anywhere. I agree with that. But you can't get saved apart from the ministry of the church. Because the Holy Spirit ministers through the body of Christ.
Amen.
As soon as you're saved, the Holy Spirit baptizes you into that body. Makes you one with the church. You out of tune with the church, you out of tune with God.
Amen.
You out of tune with the church, you out of tune with the Bible. Oh, that's the way it is.
Oh, like
it. Yes, sir. You can't be in tune with God and out of tune with the church. Now, there's no law in changing local against changing local congregations. I would advise you, if you're a member here, if this church just resists the truth, which I don't believe they will, but if they was do like some of them do, you ought to hunt up another church.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. Just because Grandpa hung his hat on a certain nail, no sign you have to stay. You're supposed to turn away from those that walk in error.
That's right, brother.
Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. That's what the book says. Oh, that's pretty strong, but you can take it.
Oh, that's good.
Yes, sir. Well, how can two walk together except to be agreed? If we walk in the light of him, we have fellowship one with another. Listen, if you're walking in the light and I'm walking in the light, we got that good fellowship like we got here tonight. Feel that? You ever been in them old dead churches where you couldn't feel nothing? You know what's the matter? Somebody's in darkness. Somebody's playing church. Somebody's putting on a big front. Somebody's being an entertainer instead of a preacher. We're overrun with entertaining singers and entertaining preachers today. I believe it makes God sick at his stomach. If there's ever been time when we need to get down to business with God, it's this day in which we live. Oh, yes. God help us. God ordained the local church. I'm glad he let me be a member. A fellow called me not too long ago and said, Brother Mitchell said, can we have a church without having a pastor? I said, if you don't have a church, you don't need a pastor. See, it'd be a blessing. I'll preach this to a bunch of preachers. I like to preach to them preachers. God gave, you know, in Ephesians 4, 11, God said in the church, you know, first apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. God gave the church the men. He gave the church the men, and he didn't give the church to the men. He gave the men to the church. See, when I get to thinking, I own the church, and this is my place. Oh, no. God gave me to the church. He didn't give the church to me.
That's right. Amen.
See, I can't exist without the church. Ain't that right? Now, God ordained the pastor as the under-shepherd and the overseer of the flock. That's God's way. An overseer is one that superintends. You can't pastor without a pastor's heart. You can't be the right kind of shepherd without a shepherd's heart. I believe God gives every God-called pastor, I believe He gives him a pastor's heart for the people. You know what? Pastor, he takes care. He watches over. He's got the rule. Three times in Hebrews 13 talks about obeying them to have the rule over you. Salute them to have the rule over you. Not the rule of a dictator. That's what we run into today. Not the rule of a dictator, but the rule of a delegate. God's delegated authority to that overseer. And He has the rule of a delegate. He's handing the Word of God to feed. And He's got the rule of a doctor. He has to be able to diagnose the case. He got one fellow over here that's well, you know, and he's good and healthy. And another lamb over here that's not too healthy. And another one back here that's all the way sick. You think you'd like to be a pastor? I don't think you'd like that too much. In fact, you couldn't do it if God didn't give you the gift to do it. And give you the heart to do it. There's one that has to be nourished and cherished. Somebody said, if I was that preacher, I'd run them all. I said, yeah, but you're not that preacher. And that pastor has a pastor's heart. And he sees that wayward lamb. And he sees that crippled lamb, that diseased sheep. And he's got to give attention to that and feed that sheep and diagnose the case and give the medicine. Sometimes it takes years to cure one. We're real fast. We want them cured just overnight. But that pastor has a rule of a doctor and then the rule of a dad. That word of God's proper for correction. It's a dad's place to do the correcting. We have to be corrected. Since we're still in a depraved body and have a bad nature, sometimes the preacher, the pastor, though he loves us and though he feeds us, he has to get rough with us and shake us a little. Let us know that we're supposed to mind. We're supposed to walk right.
Amen.
Of course, you do it in love. Never slap a child upside the head. God told you to use a rod. He gave you a place to use it. And people associate. Grown-ups and children alike associate their correction with what they're hit with. If you slap a child, it raises a rebellion in him toward you. If you use a rod, he dreads the rod instead of you.
Amen.
Now, if I take advantage of you and slap you just because I can, you'll rebel against me.
That's right.
But if I use this Word of God on you in love, then you can't rebel against me, and you better not against the Word of God. Ain't that the way it is? That is the way it is. See, we'll just say, oh boy, that hurts, and that really stung me, but it's the truth, and I just have to take it. That's right. See, that's why the Bible warns a preacher to use not his liberty for a cloak of maliciousness.
That's right.
Take advantage of people. See, you've seen that, haven't you?
Yes, sir.
And I guess I've done that years ago. I quit doing that. I don't want to ever have to give an account for that, no more of that. Take advantage of people just because I got the pulpit. You know, preacher could do that. Took off a million to people just because he has the advantage of them.
That's right.
And see, a man does that, got a yellow streak up his back. He wouldn't talk near as mean to you outside.
Amen.
And then claim to be in the spirit.
Yeah.
Well, he may be, but it might be the wrong one.
That's right.
I tell you, if you go taking advantage of people, you're in the wrong spirit. I couldn't make you do nothing no way. If I can't preach to you in love and get you to do it, you're better off not to do it.
Right.
Amen. I know a fella, he just kept on talking about people are giving and browbeating people for not giving and just almost sent them to hell for not giving. He's just talking to me and he just kept on. And finally I got filled up. I said, if you have to twist arm to get it, you better let them keep it. If you don't give freely and because you want to be a blessing, you're better off not to give at all. God couldn't bless it. Ain't that so? That is right. Well, I'm not going to stay on that too long, but God ordained the husband as the head of the home. Now, I know that that's not popular preaching, but God ordained it, you know. God said the man's the head of the woman, and Christ is the head of man, and God's the head of Christ. You can't bypass that line of authority. I know since the Second War, women's got them a job, and got their own car, and got their own bank account, and got their own money. Just about all of them running things. Is that about right? A lot of us is like the old fellow was. This fellow had a rooster. And he said, I'm going down the road, and the first fellow that I find that's ahead of this house, he said, I'm going to give him this chicken. Had a back and horse and buggy days, you know. And so he went up the first and asked this first man. He said, no, said, my wife's the boss. He went to the next man and said, are you the head of the house? He said, no, I'm not. He said, we try to agree 50-50. And went to the next man and said, you the head of the house? He said, yes, sir. Said, I'm the head of the house here. He said, well, I want to give this rooster here to the first fellow that I can find to head of his own house. He said, wait just a minute. Let me ask my wife if I can take it. And so, you know, there's a lot of folks that claim to be the head of the house. And you know, God don't want you to be no king. And you know what I found out? Most of the time, a godly woman, and if she's godly all the time, will submit to the authority of her husband if he earns the authority. Most of the time, a lot of women rebel because there's a rotten spot in the man's life. And the wife knows it when nobody else does. Now, you ever see any preachers preach when the wife drops their head?
Yes, sir.
I've seen that. You better write that off.
Yes, sir.
He knows something. Amen. Yes. Oh, God help us. God ordained a man to be the head of the home. And you know, God wants, a lot of people say Christ is the head of this home. But that's not right. Man's ordained to be the head of the home. Christ rules in all of our hearts. But you submit to the authority of your parents as children. And as far as I know, the only command God gives children is to obey their parents. Yes, that is true. You know, and I say again, in love and in mercy, not as a king, not as a dictator. God wants to be in the home. He rules the home through us. And when we do that, we do it in love. Well, God ordained the blood of Christ as the only means to get to heaven. Only way. You don't go the blood route, you can't go. God ordained it. It's been blood all the way. You've heard me say it. I'll repeat again. It is blood before the foundation of the world. It was a blood covenant. Christ agreed to be the blood surety. He sealed the covenants with the S. Only time Christ ever lost any blood when he was here in the world. Once is when he was 8 days old. Once is in the last week of his life. He sealed the Old Testament covenant when he was 8 days old, circumcised according to the law.
Yes, sir.
Never did shed no more blood until the last week of his life. Sealed a new covenant.
Yes.
Somebody said, well, now the preacher didn't like it. I said, them Old Testament saints are saved on the credit. And that is right. They weren't saved apart from the blood of Christ.
Right.
The blood of animals could never make their spirits perfect. It could never take away sin. He had promised to seal that covenant, and he done it. He was the blood surety. If any saint ever gets to heaven, it'll be because of the blood of Christ.
Amen.
Not blood plus water, not blood plus works, but the blood of Christ plus nothing.
Amen.
God ordained it. He set the blood of Christ forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood.
Amen.
Oh, I'm glad that's the way it is.
Amen.
I'm glad that's the way it is. I'm glad that if you go to heaven, you got to go just like me.
Yes, sir.
You can't get there. If I go, I got to go just like you. You can't get there no other way.
Amen.
Christ is the propitiation for our sin, not for everyone, but also for the sin of the whole world.
Amen.
The blood of Christ. He had the blood of God in him. It is God's blood. We're justified by blood.
Amen.
By faith in the blood. Romans 5:1, Romans 5:9. We're washed in the blood. We're sanctified by the blood. The power's in the blood that keeps us. You couldn't stay saved until you got home if it wasn't for the blood of Christ atoning. Amen. Pleading our case. Somebody said, well, you fellas just believe once saved, always saved. I said, no, we just believe the blood of Christ is sufficient.
Amen.
You mean it's sufficient for future sins? I said, all of mine is future when he shed it. As far as I was concerned, not as far as God was concerned, God knew I was going to be a sinner. And he knew I was born a sinner. So God knew it all from the start, but Christ gave his blood as a propitiation to satisfy God. And we're washed in the blood.
Amen.
All my sins are gone.
Yeah.
They're forgiven. They're washed away.
Yeah.
They're behind God's back. He don't ever turn around. They're in the depths of the sea. And in the new heaven, new earth, he's going to do away with the sea. He's perfected forever them that are sanctified.
Well,
that's what I said. He has perfected forever. You say, preacher, you're telling me you're perfect? I'm going to tell you what God said. You are too. If you're perfect in the blood, you're perfected forever. That's what it says. Well, you know, if we'd ever get to where we could take our position in Christ as more than conquerors, perfected saints of God, that's right, and as far as God's concerned, it's as good as done, we'd quit being discouraged and despondent.
Amen.
God's going to finish what He started.
Yeah.
He's not defeated. Oh, somebody said, look what the devil's doing. I said, the devil has to get permission to do anything he does. He's a whip devil. Little children, you've overcome them, speaking of Antichrist, because greater is He that is in you than He that's in the world. We have made overcomers when we believed. God ordained the blood of Christ as the only way to get to heaven. The only way to be forgiven is the blood of Christ. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace.